Nick DeGilio on 720 WGN. We're live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, here till 4. Dan Bell is going to join us. He's a producer and a filmmaker. You can follow him on YouTube at This Is Dan Bell. He's got some new projects coming up and some new films that he's posted. And we're going to talk about that as well. Some new videos. Great Moments in Vinyl is a band that does tributes to famous bands and albums and things like that, and they have a kind of a rotating members, and it's put together by Lindsey Cochran, and who's a great guy, and puts together a great band, and they are celebrating the music of Rush. Now, obviously, they're not going to be playing it in a club; they're doing it virtually. And it'll be on Friday, June 19th at 6 p.m. on the band's website and at YouTube and Facebook. And they'll be talking about, they'll be playing the music of Rush. And so let's say hello to Lindsey Cochran. Lindsey, hi.
Good evening, Nick. Good to hear your voice on this nice night.
How are you hanging out?
I'm doing all right. One of my neighbors must have a fire pit or something because there's wood smoke in the air, and I can't think of anything better to have that scent in the air listening to the Nick DeGilio show talking about music.
Oh, look at that.
I know how to butter up the host.
Yes, you do. First of all, tell us all about Great Moments in Vinyl.
Well, it's just a concept for fans of music who are musicians to get together with fans of music who are listeners and just celebrate some great albums together. You know, the things we used to do when we were younger, we'd get together with friends and play albums and basically look at each other and say, isn't this great? Listen to what he does here. This is kind of the same thing that we want to do on stage. It's just share that enthusiasm and excitement for music. And with the sad loss of drummer Neil Peart from the band Rush back in January, so much has happened this year that's overshadowed that story, but it was a tragedy when we lost him. And I had already been talking with guitarist Jarrett Donahue about putting together a Rush tribute, and so we had one in the cards, and then the pandemic came along. And so what we did was last Friday night, actually we did perform in a club. We were the only people in the club, Martyrs, and we played our set and had a sound person who recorded us, did a multi-track mix, and recorded videos, and that's what we're going to post online this coming Friday at 6 o'clock, and it'll just be available on YouTube and on the band website, greatmomentsinvinyl.com, and various places on the web that you can just enjoy it at that point. But 6 o'clock Friday is when we're going to launch it.
I love that album. I love Moving Pictures. It's such a great record. I think it's Rush's best album.
Absolutely. It was the pinnacle of their sales. It was the best selling one, and it's kind of an interesting story there in that they had on the album Hemispheres, they'd recorded the whole album, and then they realized they put all the songs in the wrong key for Geddy to sing. They were way too high, and so Geddy was kind of agitating the rest of the band. Say, hey, let's take a step back and figure out where we're going here, and try to make songs that are concise, have the same kind of adventurous elements to them, all the odd time signatures and unexpected changes, but make it concise. And they started, and he says, we started writing songs like The Spirit of Radio and Tom Sawyer.
Yeah, it's such a great record. And but they were writing, there's actually a key that's too high for Geddy Lee.
Indeed. You know, I was kind of stunned when I read that. But, yeah, you know, mistakes get made, and they're only mistakes if you don't learn from them.
That's right. Okay, well, we have a couple of members who are going to be playing with you, and we want to welcome them to the show. We have Judith Wyrock. Hi, Judith.
Hi, Nick. How are you? So good to see you or hear you again, I should say.
There you go. We have Jarrett Donahue. Hi, Jarrett.
Hey, Nick. Hey, how's it going?
Good, 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 good. Let me also bring in Ray Quinn, who is the owner of Martyrs. Ray, how are you?
Good, Nick. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I want to talk to you, Ray, for a couple of minutes. Everybody hang on for just a second, because I want to talk to Ray. How is Martyrs handling this? And, you know, I mean, obviously during the pandemic, you've been closed and you've not been able to host concerts and things like that. What's the state of Martyrs right now?
Well, we've been closed for 3 months. We really haven't been doing much here at the building because we can't really allow anybody in. But luckily, a couple of weeks ago, they started to allow us to bring some bands in to start recording and streaming. So we're going to be doing that to try to raise some money. I'm part of an organization called the Chicago Independent Venue League. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing a lot of work with them. That was a group that was started by Katie and Tim Tutton at the Hideout. And a while ago, when we were working to try to change the plans for that Sterling Bay had for the Lincoln Yards project. So we already had an organized group of venue owners together when this pandemic hit us. And, you know, venues are the first to close and the last to open. So it's everybody's kind of reevaluating their futures every day. And as our money gets spent on property taxes and everything else that we need to keep going in our buildings, we had to furlough all our employees, and we're trying to figure out a way to work our way through this.
Yeah. And so the virtual thing, now that you guys are going to start posting videos now?
Yeah, we had a show. Great Moments in Vinyl was in Friday to record, and then we did a sound check Saturday, and we streamed a show Sunday, a band called Terrapin Flyer, and we're going to be organizing some more of those. I don't really have a schedule of who and when yet, but there's a little bit of a learning curve on the streaming. We need to make sure we have the right equipment and the right people and the cameras and all the things that we don't normally do here, because we want to make sure it looks and sounds great.
Yeah, I understand. Tell me a little bit more about the organization that you're a part of again.
Chicago Independent Venue League.
Yeah.
That is the local one. That's the Chicago group of venues. There's 35 venues involved in that, and we're in constant communication with the city government. We have a conference call with the city every Monday evening, and we're working with Pat Dorr over at the Hospitality Association and a lot of others, reaching out to our local congressmen and a national organization called the National Independent Venue Association that we're also a part of. And there's over 2,000 venues involved in that across the country.
And how are some of the other venues handling this? I mean, and this is a real, I mean, so many businesses are taking a massive hit during this time. What's the vibe, you know, when you talk to the other owners?
Well, we're in contact all the time, continuously, and everybody's in a very similar position. If we don't get some serious consideration from the federal government in the way of low interest or forgivable loans, most of these venues will be gone in a few months. We can't possibly continue to pay our property taxes and all our other bills that we have and survive with absolutely no income whatsoever.
Right.
It's going to be a long time before live music comes back at full capacity, and we want to play it safe. You know, we want to follow the rules, but with being a phase five business, it makes it a little tricky because we don't know when we're going to be back to full business.
Yeah.
And that depends on a lot of other things besides just the regulations. It depends on how people feel about going out to crowds again.
Yeah.
So it could be 18 months of no or very limited business.
Well, Ray, I wish you the best of luck. I love Martyrs. It's one of my favorite places in the city to see a show.
Well, thanks. One thing that everybody could do is go to the National Independent Venue Association website and support the Restart Act. There's a lot of things that we could do. Everyone listening to this show could do very quickly with a couple clicks on their phone or their computer to show support in Congress for independent venues.
Okay, and again, the website is?
That's the National Independent Venue Association. So it's NIVA, NIVASSOC.org.
Okay, there you go. Everybody should check that out and support. I wish you the best of luck, Ray. And
thanks.
You know, I really do, because you have a great venue there, man. You really do.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, we've been working on it for almost 26 years.
Yeah,
now.
No, it's great. I've been there so many times. I've seen so many great shows there. It's just it's a good, it's a great place, and I wish you the best of luck, and I hope everybody supports it, and hopefully we'll get to reopen, man. As soon as possible. I really would hate to see any of these venues, these great music venues, shut down. Ray, as being a part of this, being a part of the music scene in Chicago, one of the best music towns in the country.
Yeah, I think it is the greatest music town in the world.
Yeah.
It's really Chicago and New York. For me, those are the only two. I mean, I've traveled all over the world and seen a lot of great music towns. And, you know, we have world-class orchestra. We've got chamber music. We've got ethnic music developed in so many different styles. We've got gospel, jazz, blues, and really no other city in the world has such a diverse and well-developed music scene as the city of Chicago.
I agree with you, and I hope the music scene recovers as quickly as possible after this whole thing. So, Ray, anyway, you got a great place. Everybody, hang on, okay? We want to talk more. We've got Lindsay here, Judith, Jarrett, and Ray, who's the owner of Martyrs, and we're going to talk with Lindsay and the rest of the folks about their upcoming online mini-concert, which they're going to play back on Friday at 6 p.m. on the band's website, YouTube, and Facebook, and it's a tribute to Rush's Moving Pictures album. We'll talk more with the musicians right here on 720 WGN. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Skyline studio here till 4 a.m. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Lindsay Cochran puts together a band called Great Moments in Vinyl, and they're going to run a virtual gig that they did, that they recorded at Martyrs, as a tribute to Rush's great album Moving Pictures. And you can see it on Friday at 6 p.m. On the band's website or on YouTube and Facebook. And Lindsay, we're back.
Yes.
And hey. Hi, Judith. Hi, Jarrett.
Hello.
And hello again, Ray.
Hi.
All right. Judith, give me your background. Where are you from, and when did you start singing and all that stuff?
So I'm from Chicago area, the suburbs, and started singing in gospel kind of church choirs as a kid, and grew up with a father who was into music a lot, but specifically was a barbershop chorus guy. And so
really,
chorus and quartet, and listened to it as a result a lot of music that was a rich in harmonies, right? Obviously. And I mean, that music is all about. It's not necessarily my preferred style, but it is rich in these harmonies, and that's what I grew up in. And then also, like I said, in the choir. And so that was kind of my early introduction to music and the emotion and power of music. So that spoke to me at an early age.
All right. Jarrett, what about you? When did you get into music? When did you start playing the guitar?
It's funny. It just kind of actually fell in my lap probably when I was about 12 or 13. And I must have set the instrument aside. It must have been for about like 6 or 7 months. And then one day I put on a Led Zeppelin DVD. It was the Royal Albert Hall show from 1970. I watched the whole thing, and I was just mesmerized the whole time. And I was like, this is what I want to do. And this is, you know, totally what I want to be. And from then on, it was, you know, I'm totally into it.
So is Paige your guitar hero?
I would have to say Paige. You know, I also have to have a shout-out to Eric Johnson there. He's probably my second. But, yeah, Jimmy Page, I mean, man, what an incredible player.
Yeah, amazing. Amazing stuff. So, Lindsay, Moving Pictures, tell me a little bit about this album. I think it's Rush's best album, and I'm a huge Rush fan.
Well, that story I was telling before about Hemispheres, that was kind of the turning point for the band where they realized that they needed to do something a little different, a little more concise, a little less prog rocky per se. I mean, Geddy Lee has said that he considers them carrying on the tradition begun by Cream or The Who more than anything else. But Moving Pictures was the album that put it over the top. I think with the album Permanent Waves, they got some attention, some radio airplay, and as these things always build in the in the traditional radio FM industry, the way it was back in the day, you get a good strong album, then the next one could really be the one that makes you. You know, think of bands like Fleetwood Mac or Springsteen with Darkness on the Edge of Town leading into The River, and then Born in the USA. I mean, it builds.
Yeah.
And for Rush, Moving Pictures was the one that did it.
Yeah. And I saw him on that tour, and it was amazing, except the guy behind me threw up on my leg. So
that was, welcome to rock and roll.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
Of course, it was a guy at a Rush show.
Yeah, it was this guy. It was a guy behind me was drunk, and I was standing. We were all standing on the chairs. It was at Rosemont Horizon, and we were all standing on the chairs, as you're apt to do at big concerts like that. And all of a sudden, I feel something on my leg, and I look, and I'm like, okay. So I missed three songs because I had to go to the bathroom and stick my leg in the sink. And
Getty tells a great story about Rush shows. You know, so many guys there, and when they parted. When they finally started noticing girls showing up at the shows, Getty says, well, we were too old to take advantage of that.
Yeah, no, it's I've seen Rush a few times, and it is about 90% male in the audience. There's no question about it. Judith, what was your first exposure to Rush?
Well, I hate to perpetuate the irrelevant stereotype of it being a male band or, you know, fan base, but my first exposure really was through my brother, who I think through 2112, I remember listening to, you know, Passage to Bangkok, and that for some reason just seemed like the most, you know, growing up in a suburb of Chicago seemed like the most exotic thing I'd ever heard.
It
just really spoke to me, and so actually for me, this has been such a treat to do all this, to do this Rush music and to play with everybody, because, you know, my brother's now gone. And so every time we play this music, I think of him, and I'm brought right back to my childhood and sitting around the kitchen table with the stereo and hearing the needle scratch on the album and listening to this music. So,
yeah.
That was my Rush influence.
Jared, how about you? When did you get into Rush?
They've had a special place in my heart for a long time, but probably the first song that really made me take note was Limelight, because they do this with a lot of songs, but that was one of their songs that they really captured the essence of the song just within the whole framework of the entire song. You know, the lyrics and the music and the whole vibe that they're able to kind of portray through this song. It was all such a great combination of those three guys and these three brains that were just working on this level that just clicked.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. All right, Ray, what about you? How do you feel about Rush, Ray?
Well, my first introduction to Rush was 2112, like a lot of people.
Yeah.
It swept through my grade school everybody thought it was the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah.
I bought that record. I immediately went out and got Archives, which was their first three records in a box set.
Right.
And then I bought every record after that as soon as it came out. I started seeing Rush live when I was about 12, and I saw them every tour I could. I brought my sons to see them. I've seen them with my brothers. I've seen them with my friends. I've been in bands that have attempted to play their tunes. And, for me, it was a Farewell to Kings.
Yeah.
Was the record that was the one I probably listened to the most, that and Hemispheres, and then all the others.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I love Rush. I've been a Rush fan forever. And like many people, 2112 was the album that turned me on to Rush. There's no question about it. Lindsay, what about you?
Yeah.
How did you get exposed to Rush for the first time?
You know, I'm a latecomer to the party. It was back in my days working at XRT, and I remember once again, I'm back to the album Hemispheres, and that was probably my first real introduction. Well, I guess I tell a lie, because when I was in college, I worked at the college radio station, and I remember the first album? There was a song on it called Finding My Way.
Mm.
I remember that playing that on the campus radio station a few times.
Yeah.
But, you know, they've always been that sort of peripheral band, you know, off there with the prog rockers. And I love prog rock, but I was never really introduced to Rush. I think that's my problem. I didn't have anyone to sit me down and make me listen and pay attention. And working on this particular show, I mean, I've known of them. I've loved songs that I've heard over the past 20-odd years. But working on this show, I really got a great respect for the level of musicianship, the craft, the, as Jarrett was saying, the interplay between the three brains in the band. And I love what Judith said about how the music takes her back. You know, I mean, that's the whole point of Great Moments in Vinyl. It's to get on stage to remind people of great music that they grew up with.
Yeah. Yeah, here's the question, Lindsay. Who's taking on the task of playing drums?
it's a Great Moments in Vinyl veteran by the name of Jonathan Reed, who played. He was our John Bonham. He was our Pick Withers when we did Dire Straits, and he sang all the Mark Knopfler stuff from the first album. He also was our. I'm blanking out on Jimi Hendrix's drummer from the
Mitch Mitchell.
Mitch Mitchell. So, I mean, Johnny's just amazing. And when Jared talked about falling in love with Jimmy Page, well, last summer we had a chance to do a Led Zeppelin show out at Joliet for the Joliet Great Prison Break-In. And I needed a guitarist. And Bill Grady had recommended, Bill Grady, who's been on your show, had recommended
yep.
Jarrett to perform the Jimmy Page chores. And as we were rehearsing for that and talking with Jarrett, he said, you know, if you ever do a Rush show someday. So he recruited Walter Kiefer, who's going to be the bass player and keyboard player that you hear, to do those parts. And I brought in Johnny Reed to do all the drums. And, oh, my God, and John... I mean, may not like me telling you this, but he's, you know, he's like classically trained. You know, he studied music in a school, and,
yeah.
and so he went out and bought the Neil Peart transcription book.
Oh, wow!
I mean, everything that Neil had played on this album, it had been notated, and so Johnny was studying from that. But
wow.
When the guys performed, I think I said four words during the course of the show as part of the music on the song Subdivisions. There's a place where a voice comes in and says the title. But when these guys were performing on Friday night, I was just, you know, my jaw was dropping.
Yeah. Yeah, it's quite a record, Moving Pictures. And, you know, at that point in their career, I mean, it definitely was the biggest thing that happened to those guys. I mean, they really pushed it over. I remember being in high school when Moving Pictures came out. I was in high school. Everybody in my high school had that record. Everybody was listening to it. And I mean, what can you say about Tom Sawyer? I mean, my God, that song is just so iconic, you know?
Yep. Well, like I said, it's the concise statement. They took what they did so well, but they managed to boil it down to just 4.5 minutes.
Yeah.
And what that does is it just heightens the impact of the song.
Yeah. Ray, you have fun. You have fun when these guys come in and play gigs?
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
I've even sat in with them once.
Oh, you did?
yeah, but I love what these guys do. You know, Lindsay always gets together, it's very often a completely different supporting cast, and they really do their homework, and they really get the right people for every one of these records, and it's remarable.
Yeah, you know, I have Lindsay on the show pretty much before, you know, every gig that Great Moments in Vinyl plays, and I'm always astonished at the incredible talent that Lindsay gets. Lindsay, it's amazing. I know you surround yourself with a lot of really talented musicians and things like that, but it's consistently some of the best musicians in this city you get.
Well, thank you. But, you know, like I said before, we're all just music fans. And I give some of these guys who are very talented you know, have other gigs to do, I give them a chance to play stuff they'd never get to play. You know, like if you're in a successful wedding band, how many times are you going to be able to play a deep track from Rush?
Right. That's not going to
be Wonder or The Who or, you know, something like that.
Right.
It gives these guys a chance, and women, too, a chance to do something unexpected.
Yeah. Well, it's great. Listen, Lindsay, it's always a pleasure. It's always
Thank
a pleasure.
You.
And so, and Judith, nice to meet you. And Jarrett, thanks for coming on the show, man.
Thanks. Good to talk to you.
And again, Ray, best of luck with Martyrs, man. I'm rooting for you.
Thanks.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll be working on it.
Okay. All right. There you go, Lindsay. Thanks again, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
Friday evening at 6 p.m. On the band's website, Great Moments in Vinyl, and on YouTube and on Facebook, you can watch the virtual concert of them, of these incredible musicians, and Lindsay telling great stories about Rush as they celebrate Rush's Moving Pictures album right here on 720 WGN.